You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
For those who don't know me, my name is Bin, and I'm the senior pastor of Sun Life Church. And we have been in the middle of a series titled His Mission, Our Mission. It's all about going on mission. And I hope by now, Sun Life Church, when you hear of the word mission, especially, I guess, in a way, if you've been around church long enough, you would hear this word pop up in conversation. Mission, going on mission, missionaries, mission trips. And I hope by now, as a church, we should understand that going on mission is not just, you know, packing up your bag, selling everything, selling your house, going somewhere overseas, leaving me to be here by myself. You know, that's not mission. I mean, that's part of mission, but that's not it. There's more to that. Or when you think of mission, you think of, oh, well, save up a bit of money, go overseas at the end of the year for a couple weeks, hug babies, kiss babies, feed the poor, and then, you know, put in my resume that I've been on a mission trip. Well, that's part of it, but that's not all of it. It's more to that. I mean, I remember asking Christians what it means to be on mission, and some people would say to me, well, mission is not for me. Or, I've never been on mission. And I said, then what do you mean by that? And they would say, well, you know what, God has never called me to sell my house and go overseas. Or the person said to me, well, we've never had a chance to do that as a church because our church do not have mission trips. And I hope you realize that by now that being on mission is not just going overseas. Being on mission simply means you've been sent. Is that right? The Latin word missio means to be sent, to be discharged. The day that God saves you, the day that you have been saved by Jesus, is the very day that you have been sent by Jesus. We're all on mission. We're all doing something for the glory of God. Every single one of us, we're asked to go. Even the Great Commission at the very end of Matthew's Gospel, you know, therefore go and make disciples. So on a Sunday when we come here, we come. You know, we might invite our friends to come and see what it means to be a Christian, what it means to worship. If you are here for the first time, you know, if you've come through here for the first time, I spoke to someone this morning who've just come for the first time. I can't see you, but welcome. I'm so glad that you are here. If you're inviting your friends to come on Sunday, keep that up. But that's to get people to come here to see what this is all about. Is that right? To see what it means to sing to Jesus, to see what it means to pray, to see what it means to be broken, to see what it means to raise up a child, to dedicate a child. Let's come and see. But we are called to go out there, go and show people of this great gospel. And every Christian, you and me, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, we're on mission. We're on mission. When we leave this morning at 11:30, whenever we leave, we're going. We're going out there to show people of this wonderful gospel. We're going. And this morning here, I want to talk about when we go, there are four things that I want us to remember based on the Word of God. At Sun Life Church, we really believe that God speaks to us through Scripture. That's the primary means in which God speaks to us through Scripture. Yes, He does speak to us sitting under a tree. He does speak to us through people. He does speak to us in dreams. I get that. But the primary means in which God speaks to us is through Scripture. If you are not in the Word of God, if you're not reading the Word of God, and someone asks you, have you heard from God? Is God speaking to you? I guarantee you, your answer would most likely be no. I haven't heard from God a long time. If you're in the Word of God, if you're reading God's Word, if you're studying God's Word, slowly reading it, meditating on the Word of God, I promise you, God speaks to you. And as I was studying this during the week, as I spent my time praying for you and praying for the Word, I really believe that God spoke to me and these are the words that God has for you. And I pray that we would leave this place saying, I've heard from God, not just hearers, but also doers of the word of God. When we go on mission, four things we must remember. It's on the screen behind me. We go with the message of Christ, period. We go with the message of Christ. Two, we need to go with the power of the Holy Spirit. Got to go with the Holy Spirit. Number three, we need to go into our God-given specific community. God has given you a group of people. God has given me a group of people. We need to go to that group of people. Don't go to my group, because my group's not going to like you. I won't go to your group, because your group won't like me. We've all got a specific community. And fourthly, we need to go with a positive mindset, a positive attitude that God can do something wonderful in us and through us. Amen? Four things. Let me pray, and I'll get straight to work. And I need you to pray for me, because it's been a busy week for me. I just finished this sermon like midnight last night. So I need you to pray for me, because it might be a bit scratchy. So pray for me, all right? Let's pray. Father God, I pray now that you would help me to really speak your word and to expound your word to your people. And I do pray, Father, that they'll hear from you, that we would leave this place knowing what it means to be on mission, that we will go with your message, with your power, to our community with the right attitude. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bible, we're looking at Romans chapter 15. If you don't have your Bible, it's okay. The passage is on the screen behind me. Romans chapter 15, verses 17 to 21. And this is a great part of Scripture. So you have your Bible, please turn there. Romans 15, 17 to 21. The message of Jesus. Look in verse 17 and 18. He says, therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. Let's stop there. What does he say right here? He says, I am not going to speak about anything other than what Christ has done in me, through me, with me, so that the Gentiles will come to obey. Obey is to have faith in God. I'm not going to talk about anything else. The one message that I'm going to really go with is what Christ has done. What he has done for me, he's done in me, through me, and I'm going to share that message so that the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are the non-Jews, all the people like in Italy, in Greece, that they will come to obey. In other words, they will have faith in God. That's all I'm going to talk about. I'm not going to talk about the miracles that I've witnessed. They're good, but that's not the message. I'm not going to talk about the beatings I experienced, because we know Paul was beaten. He nearly died. He probably died. And Christ raised him. I'm not going to talk about that. I mean, that's important. I'm not going to talk about the spiritual giftings that I have or the churches that I've experienced. No, no, they're all good. The one thing that I'm going to focus on is this message of what Jesus has done. That's what he says. I want to talk about that. How he died for me. How he lived that perfect life that I can't live. He rose for me. He's interceding for me. And I place my trust in him. And when I put my trust in him, I know that I'll be in right standing before God the Father. That's the message that I have. That's the message I'm going to share. That's all I want to preach. I don't want to venture onto anything other than that. And that's so important for us to understand. When we go out there, the one message that we must share is just Christ. Don't get caught up by talking about, you know, how your life has been transformed. That's great. But if it's not pointing back to Christ, stop it. Don't start talking about how great is your kids' program or your church ministry or the church building or the preaching here. That's all great. If it's not pointing back to Christ, stop it. It has to be about Christ. It's such an important message. It's called the good news. It's good because it's all about Christ and what He has done. Let me say this. If you come to Sun Life Church and you are not a follower of Christ, my heart is to continue to share you this message of Christ. That there's a God who loved you so much that apart from Him, apart from placing your trust in Jesus, you cannot be in right standing before God. And I want you to trust me, and I want you to journey with me, because this is a wonderful message. That's why it's called the Good News. It's good news because God has done everything for us and we don't have to do anything at all. That's why it's called good news. In fact, at the very beginning of this letter to the Christians in Rome, in chapter 1 of Romans, let's go there. Look what he says in Romans chapter 1 verse 16. For I am not ashamed of this good news, this gospel. I am not ashamed of this message, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to anyone who believes. First to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. I'm not ashamed. I don't care what people think of me or my message. I'm not ashamed, because this message here, it is the power of God to save people. And Paul says that when I go, I'm only going with that message. And when we go with that message. I was talking to some of my guys in my connect group. I have a connect group with fellas. I won't mention names because I don't want to embarrass people. And you can probably figure out who this guy is. I love him so much. I love my guy so much. He's got a wonderful business and he works with cars. And that's all I'm going to say. And I love this guy because this guy tells me that people know that he loves Jesus. Just the way he speaks to them, he tells stories of people treating him so poorly and badly and ripping off, but he has this love and he would forgive these people. And they know that he goes to church on Sunday because he loves Jesus. And this guy here tells me after he works in their car, he sneakily goes to the radio station of the cassette and he changes them all to 98.5, the Christian channel. What a brilliant idea! I know of another guy in this church who tells me he's next step brilliant. He goes, I know that in the radio cassette there are like presets, and there's like 8 presets. I go and I change all 8 presets to 98.5. What a brilliant idea! And then I said to that guy, I said to one of my members, I said, that is so good that you are doing all this, but are you speaking? Are you sharing this message with your mouth? He goes, I'm not there yet. I said, that's okay. We'll get there together. Because it's good to show people that we love them. It's good to have the attributes of being a Christian, kindness and grace and patience and love and all that. But we still need to go and share. You can tell people that you are a Christian. You can make sure that your weekly calendar is free on Sunday because you go to church. That's beautiful. You can sneakily change their radio station. That's beautiful. But I still want to encourage you that we have to still open our mouths and verbalize and tell people of this wonderful message. Look what Paul says in Romans. In the same letter, in chapter 10, if you have your Bible, go to chapter 10, verse 14. He says, how then can they call out the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. We still need to speak it. We need to go out there and share them the message that there is a God who loves them, a God who sent His Son to die for them, and if they place their hope in this God, they can be right standing before God. The Christian faith is not about what I must do, The do's and the don'ts, and then hopefully fingers crossed that God will love me. He won't send a lightning bolt upon me. That's not the good news. The good news is God has done everything for me. And I put my trust in Him. I put my faith and my hope in Him. And I know that the day I see Him face to face, I am in right standing because Jesus has done it all for me. That is so good. That's why it's called the good news. And we still need to verbalize that. We need to talk about that. And that's very hard. Is that right? That's very, very hard. And that leads me to my second point, that we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to go out there with the message of Christ. We know that now. Go and share this message. But let's be honest, it's pretty hard. I asked my guys in my Connect group during the week, and when we got to the question about, have you verbalized it? Have you spoken about it? You know, the response I get is, that's difficult. That's a hard one. Of course it's hard. Of course it's very difficult because we don't want our friends to think that we're weird. We don't want them to be saying things about us behind our backs. We don't want to jeopardize the friendship. Of course it's very hard. But look at what Paul says right here, back in Romans 15, verses 19. Behind me. By the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. What is he saying? He's saying that this region, right, that I have gone around preaching the gospel, all the signs and wonders and all the things I did, it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not me. It's God's power in me. And we need to be praying to God. Right? The moments where you feel afraid, the moments where you go, I can't do this. This is too, awkward, or I don't think I've got the ability to do this. That's the moment you should be praying. And that's a reminder that you need God's power and not your power. And if you are like me, let's be honest here, you feel a bit awkward, a bit uncomfortable to share the gospel message because you're afraid that your words might stumble and fall out of your mouth and you're afraid that you might be a fool. That's the time where you need to slow down and say, Holy Spirit, I need your power. I need your strength. I need you to do something in me. Let's be honest. Can I be honest here? We need more of the Holy Spirit out there than in here. Seriously, because when I preach to you, the majority of you here would agree with me. I get amens, I get nods, I get people writing things down. It's easy. It's easy to be a Christian here. It's easy to share the gospel here. It's easy to invite your friends and hear the message from the pastor. And then afterwards, whilst it's still in this room here, say, hey, what do you think? It's easy. But when you're out there, in the world out there, and there's no like nice music playing when you're trying to share the gospel message, and there's no nice lighting and no smoke machine, and you're out there, you know, during lunchtime having a sandwich with a colleague, and you know, in your staff room under some bright fluorescent light, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need God's Spirit to do the work that He would use your feeble words and combine it with His divine power to really speak to the heart of your friends. You need it. Let's be honest. I'm doing some work down the footy club and I'm trying to share the gospel down there. And I tell you right now, it's a lot easier doing it here. Up here, I'm preaching, I'm opening the Bible. I get, preacher, pastor, you know, waving the Bible around here. I don't get it out there. Forget it. Out there, I need the power of the Spirit. I'm scared. I need to go out there and say, Father, oh, would you help me? Holy Spirit, would you give me the power? I need it. You need it. We need to go with the power of the Spirit. That is so important. I think of, say, Peter in the Bible. Peter is one of the disciples. He's this guy who we know, if we read through the gospel, he would deny Jesus 3 times. Why? Because he was afraid. But if you remember the same Peter, after the event of Pentecost, All right, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, all right. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, let's go over there, verse 8. Look what the Bible says. Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be, what, my witnesses. You'll testify about me. You'll share my message in Jerusalem and all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Well, this Peter, we know, who was denying Jesus three times after receiving the Holy Spirit, would stand before thousands of people and on that afternoon shared the message, and around 3,000 received Jesus. Why? The power of the Spirit was in him. And we have that power. You and I have that power. If you love Jesus, you have that power. It is also in you. Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. And his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the might strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. That power is yours. That power is mine. And we need to use that power when we go out there and share people of the good news. It's like a glove. It's like a glove. You know, if you've seen a glove before, I don't have a glove to show you, but you can see and visualize a glove. I mean, a glove by itself cannot do anything. It can't grab, it can't hold things. But as soon as I put my hand into the glove and all my fingers are into the glove, I can now pick things up. I can wash things. See, the Christians, we're like a glove. Unless we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, we can't do anything. But when we begin to trust God, that he would use us, we find ourselves that we have confidence, we have courage to share the gospel message. We find that even though our words may be really weird and it's stumbling and it's falling out of our mouth, God will still use that and really speak to our friends, our family. And when this happens, we know it's not us. We know it's only by the power of God's Spirit. Therefore, all the glory belongs to him. We don't go around and say, look how good I am. I know the formula to see people saved. No, we don't know any formula. We don't have anything good in us. All we have is the Holy Spirit. And we say, Holy Spirit, will you give me the power to do your work? And when we go with that attitude, I think there's more confidence. I think you find yourself being more bold. And you find yourself sharing the gospel message. And you realize, yeah, I'm on mission. So like in your chats with people, you find that you're quite afraid. You find that I don't know what to say. Slow down. Pray to God. Ask God for power. Ask God for strength. And I guarantee you, he will work in you. Thirdly, we need to go to our specific community. Look in the text in verse 20. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. What's he saying right here? It's strange. He says, I do not want to go to where someone else has been preaching. Paul knew that he was very gifted. Paul knew that he had certain giftings in him that called him to be a preacher outside of Jerusalem. If you study through the life of Paul, you would know that this man here did not share the gospel message inside but outside Jerusalem. He went to the Gentile world. He went preaching to that part, right? Certain people were called to be inside Jerusalem, and they were called to preach to the Jews. But for Paul, he says, no. My calling is to go outside. Give me the Gentiles. I'm not going to preach to the Jews. I'm going to preach to the Gentiles. I'm not going to stay inside Jerusalem. I'm going outside of Jerusalem. Because he knew that he had a different gifting. He knew that he would reach certain people that others can reach. And that's the same with you and I. There are certain people that you will reach that I cannot reach. And there are individuals and groups of people that I can reach that you cannot reach. So do not think that the pastor's role, my role, is to reach everyone. Wrong. Do not think that the pastor's role is to reach your friends. Wrong. Because your friends are most likely the people who would listen to you. because you've developed that trust and that credibility to share them the gospel message. That's your community. God's given community to you for you to reach and love and share the gospel. And I have my own community because I am wired differently. That's why in Romans chapter 12, Paul talks about different giftings. God has gifted us differently. For some of us, the gifting is prophecy. Romans chapter 12. Imagine that as a spiritual gifting. That's pretty good. But guess what? God doesn't see you as more important than anyone else. He sees us equal. For some of you, your gifting is in generosity. That's also a gifting in chapter 12. You're very generous. You're always shouting people for lunch. You're always spending your money on them. Some people, your gifting is teaching. You know, you give you a menu and you spend all night reading it and you love to teach it the next day. God bless you. You know, for some of your gifting is encouragement. Some it's administration. It's in the Bible. You love numbers. You love policy. That's a gifting. Good on you. We're all wired differently with different giftings. Can you imagine me who cannot cook to save his life oversee catering? That's deadly. You'll be having instant noodles next time we have Sun Life Cafe. And I'll still be charging you $10. You know what I mean? True. Can you imagine some of you like, you know what? I get you to come up here and you're shaking. I get you to pray and you're like shaking. Imagine me calling you up on a Friday afternoon. Hey, I can't preach this Sunday because I'm tired. But I want you to preach. You've got 1.5 days to expound Romans chapter 15. You're praying that the rapture would take place. You've got to take you home, right? Because that's your worst nightmare. And that's okay. And we laugh about that because we're all graced differently. Your gifting, my gifting is different. Your community, my community is different. The people that you relate to, I can't relate to them. And the people that I relate to, you can't relate to them. And that's what Paul's saying right here. He says that I'm only going to preach where God wants me to preach. And I don't want to be building on someone else's foundation. And we need to understand that. God is calling you to a specific community. You need to go out there. And for some of you, it may be the sporting field. Saturday sports. A lot of us with children, we're playing sports on the weekend. You know what? Your child and someone else's child, same team. There's something common to talk about already. Maybe that opportunity for you to encourage them to come to your house so they can see the love of Christ inside your house. And then maybe to come to this church to see the love of Christ in this church. And then the day where you share the gospel to them. If you're playing sport, whether it's basketball or frisbee or soccer, whatever it is, there are teammates on your team who needs to hear the gospel. I don't think they want to listen to me. I know nothing about frisbee. They'll listen to Jasmine. Find Jasmine. You got to make sure you reach people because they are the community that God has given to you. You know Tiny Treasures? On Friday here, I was talking to one of the helpers here and she said to me, Pastor Ben, I am so encouraged with what God is doing in Tiny Treasure. Because I have been here when we had more helpers than mums and kids. And today, the numbers are crazy. 40, 50. You know, kids and parents. I kid you not, there was one mum. This is so funny. This is on Friday. She was at work and she didn't feel too well. And she asked her boss if she can leave early. She wanted a sick day. Great. Instead of going home, she drops by Tiny Treasures to see her friends and everyone here. And she spends the next hour or so here and then she goes home. It's like if you are serving in Tiny Treasures or you want to serve in Tiny Treasures playgroup, that could be your community. That could be where God wants you to be. I may struggle relating to a mother when she talks about, I don't know, feeding a child. But maybe that's where God wants you to be. That could be your God-given specific community. Whatever it is, find it. pursue it. Don't envy someone else's community. Look at where God has placed you. Amen. And finally, we got to go with a positive attitude. We don't go just only with the message of Christ. We don't just go with the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't just go into our specific community. We have to go with this positive mindset, this positive attitude. Look what Paul says in verse 21. Rather, it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. He quotes Isaiah 52. Paul quotes an Old Testament prophet. And in Isaiah 52, Isaiah is prophesying about the suffering servant who would come and open the eyes and the ears of the people. Isaiah is actually prophesying of Jesus. And right here, what Paul is doing, he's quoting Isaiah and he's saying that those who were not told will see, those who have not heard will understand. What he's saying is this: I may have the toughest group, the Gentiles, because they're tough. They're the ungodly, they're the worst of the worst, they hate Jesus. But you know what? I believe that God can still open their eyes and their ears. That's what he's saying right there. There are certain people that we have already come to the conclusion, don't waste our time, because they're not going to believe. That's why I'm not going to share. You know your neighbor who's always having that party on Saturday night that doesn't finish till like 3 a.m. on Sunday? You've already made up your mind. There's no point sharing them the gospel because they're not going to believe. Paul says, no, I'm not going to have that attitude. I am going to have a positive attitude. I'm not going to make up my own conclusion. I'm not going to let any excuses stop me from being on mission. I'm going to believe that God can open eyes and open ears. God can do it. So he goes out there. He doesn't care if they're the Gentiles. He doesn't care if they're the worst of the worst. He doesn't care. He goes, God is able. And I'm going to believe in that. And I'm going to share it anyway. Because if we're not careful, listen carefully, Sun Life Church. If we're not careful, we have already come to the conclusion it's not worth it. Therefore, we're not going to share. That person is a terrorist. That person is this or that. Whatever. It is so poor when we think like that. That's not how God wants us to think. Like, he wants us to have this positive attitude that it is possible. With God, everything is possible. No matter how hard it may seem, we're not going to have an excuse from being on a mission. We're going anyway. That's what he says right here. And I love that. Because I'll put my hands up. Because there's been times where I have already come to the conclusion it's just not worth it. It's pointless. Therefore, I'm not going to share. But I'm being convicted and reminded by God that no, it is possible. That's why in the gospel, in Matthew 19, 26, Jesus says this. He looked at them and said, with man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Now please, Sun Life Church, never ever take that out of context. I am very sick and tired of Christians who use this verse and says, well, you know what, I can do this because all things is possible. I can jump off a cliff and fly because, you know, it's possible. No, it's not possible. That's impossible. That's silly. This context here is about salvation. The disciple says to Jesus, how can we save ourselves? We're so bad. And Jesus says, you can't. With man, you can't save yourself. But with God, it is possible. And that's the same with sharing the gospel. You look at a situation and you say, man, in my worldly eyes, it is impossible. But with God, it is possible. Therefore, I'm going to have that positive attitude. I'm going to have that positive mindset. And I'm going to share. And I'm not going to be afraid. And we need to understand is that there are certain people whom God has already elected. And God has already chosen. And God is needing you and I to share the gospel message. Do you understand that? There are certain people that God has already saved. And all he now needs is you and I to be obedient to share the gospel message. I want to show you that in the text. Go with me to Acts chapter 18. This is Paul in Corinth. He was about to leave Corinth. And the Lord said this to him, "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking." You see that? "Keep on preaching. Keep on sharing. Do not be silent. Don't leave Corinth. Stay here. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." You can read this and you miss the whole point of this verse here. The very last part where it says, "because I have many people in this city," is not referring to people who's going to protect Paul. No. What Jesus is saying here is that stay here. Keep preaching. Keep sharing, because I have many people here who need to hear that message. They're already elected. And now I'm meeting you to share it. Can you imagine if in a room of 100 people, God has already been working in 20 people, and God just needs you and I to share? 20 people will come to Him. That should excite us. You don't know that person, but maybe that person God has already elected, that God will use you to see them saved. So don't give an excuse. Don't say, "Nah, it's pointless." You just don't know. Can you imagine those who found out that Paul would go around planting churches? This is the same guy that went around persecuting the churches? You just never know. You never know. Leon Morris, a great theologian, says this. I quote him. "They had not yet done anything about being saved. And many of them had not even heard the gospel, but they were God's." You see that? Clearly, it is He who would bring them into salvation in due course. There are people in our community. There are people in your community that God has already elected. And God is now needing you and I to share the message. And God will save them. Don't give or find an excuse to stop your mission. Don't say it's too hard, because maybe God has already elected them and God is needing you to verbalize this good news. You know, let me finish with this story here. My boys, they love the Perth Royal Show. They love going to the shows. And it's around the corner from where we live, and we love it. But their favorite part of the Royal Show is Sideshow Alley. And that's where you have the bright lights, and that's where you have all the rides, but it's the games. They love the games. And there's this one particular game that they love. It's the one where probably some of the parents would know. It's the one where you fish these rubber duckies. And you've just fished a duck, but under each duck there's a number. There's a number, right? And depending on what the number is, you get a certain prize. I mean, so you pay $10 or whatever you pay, and you get, you know, a little fishing rod with a little magnetic hook. And they get to fish any of these ducks. And the boys would then strategically stand apart, just randomly trying to catch their duck. And the operator would say, "They're guaranteed to win. They'll win a prize." And you're like, "Yeah, I know that. But the chance of them winning the good prize is very little, right? But they'll win a prize." So my boys don't really care. They just know they'll win something. So they get their rods and they're trying to position themselves and they catch their duck. And the joy in their face, both their faces, regardless of what prize it is like, "Yes, we've won something. Yes, there's something great there." I tell that story because this. Because when we're out there and we're going out there to share the gospel with the message of Christ, and we go in the power of the Holy Spirit into our God-given community, and we know that there are certain people whom God has already elected, and we reach them, what a joy. We're guaranteed to find someone. We're guaranteed to save someone, because God's already saving them. And if we don't, we keep going. We keep trying. This church here, if we want to be a really good church, we're going to go and show them. We can get them to come here and see. That's fine. But that's only part of it. you got to go. You're on mission, just like me. Go with that one message, Jesus Christ. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit, because God's power will help you. Go to your God-given specific community. Your community is not my community. My community is not your community. You reach people I can't reach. I will reach people you can't reach. And then finally, go with a positive attitude that God can do something wonderful. And if we're all on mission, man, this place will be a good place. Because we are not building a church for ourselves. I'll say that to you again. This is not for you. This is for someone else who needs to hear the gospel message. Our job as Christian is to vacate hell and saturate heaven with the gospel message. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you so much for your word.